Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Today's episode is a solo cast and a companion piece to the Substack article, Spirits Are Real. Let's write that way. AI, Beliefs, and Talking to the Spirits of Addiction. As always, please hit the little like button. Send me any comments you have. I hope you like today's podcast. Hello, and thanks for joining me to another edition of the Sober Shaman Podcast. In this episode, it's going to be a companion piece to the Substack article written, Spirits Are Real. Let's Write That Way. And while I'll be following along the written Substack, thanks to my wife for making it so articulate and sounding good, the podcast is going to be me more riffing on particular concepts and going into more detail. So you can read the framework there and we can go into more detail here. Let's jump right into it. Spirits are real. Let's write that way. AI, beliefs, and talking to the spirits of addiction. So in this particular post, we have a shamanic rites exercise, and it is one that we've used before specifically to the wall of addiction. So to give you an overview, I'm going to go into detail about the reality of spirits, the power of belief, and how all this mixes together for the recovery from addiction and how we can use it in our shamanic practices for all different forms of health, mental health, and maybe even we'll touch on how this relates to physical health too. We'll see how much, we'll see which way it takes us, because I want to make specific episodes to show how the spiritual and the physical interact. We'll see how much we get to that now. So one of the things about our times is we're having the introduction to AI, artificial intelligence, and it's really making itself known very quickly in all kinds of kind of bizarre ways, where we're having, did politicians say that? Is it a fake? The stars, whether actors, actresses who are appearing in quote-unquote porn, you get to see their faces appearing however you want it to be appearing, and all kinds of just weird viral images to get you to click and like that are not real. It's completely made up. And this is all before the next wave. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like with the neural link when that sucker gets implanted into the skull. And where are we moving here? That's going to blur the line between what's real and what's not even more. I want to take a step back and revisit this idea of what is stronger, belief or reality. And I love just asking that question in a group context, because we'll get pretty split sides and they will give their arguments about why they think belief is stronger, why reality is stronger, and they're both right. And it's an interesting and fascinating relationship between the two. And I'll link to more posts and videos about this subject in the show notes. for our purposes here today in this video, in this post, let's just go in, let's keep it simple in this regard. Belief versus reality. When a person who is using a substance or action in an addictive manner, and they believe that they've got everything under control and there is no problem, compared to the objective reality, when everybody looking in can say, there is a problem and you are completely out of control. So, which one is real? What's real? Belief or the reality? Well, both are true, aren't they? From this point of view, the reality is, yes, that person does have a problem and they are out of control, causing harm to themselves and everyone around them. Their belief of I am in control is also true. But what they are in control of is they are in control of perpetuating the cycle of addiction. So their belief is that they are in control, and this force that keeps it that way, let's call it denial. The force of denial that is keeping them in control and continuing to cause harm to themselves and everyone around them and to perpetuate the cycle of addiction, this belief of denial keeps everything rolling along despite what goes on in reality. Now, this can go on for, you fill in the blank of how much time, until reality causes an experience to happen to break through that denial. But let's just stay in this denial for now. All right. The belief that they've got it under control, that I'm okay, everything's going fine, denial. Now, the next step of this, to turn it into shamanic and spiritual language, would be this. Is this belief can take on a life of its own. It can take on a form of its own in non-ordinary reality, in the realm of spirit. Now, there's two ways of viewing this, and I did want to go into, this is one of the points that I did want to go into more detail here in the podcast, as opposed to where it was just alluded to in the post. So we've got two different things here. When belief and spirit link up, and the reality of that belief in the spiritual realm, the wall of denial. As I've talked about in previous post, this wall of denial is something outside of me. If I'm in denial, it is outside of me from the spiritual perspective and has a life of its own in non-ordinary reality as the wall itself. It is not living with inside me as a figment of my imagination and my creation in my interior landscape. That would be more of a psychological view. Now, they both have pros and cons, as they talk about all the time, but this is the Sober Shaman podcast, and we talk about it from the spiritual perspective. So this idea, the wall of denial, outside of myself, having a life agenda of its own, existing in non-ordinary reality. We write about this. The pro of this is that in the shamanic rites exercise, dear my wall of denial, I get to write to that wall of denial as it exists, as a real thing. I get to perceive it, feel it, know it, and I get to write from me to it. I find this tremendously powerful and useful for many different reasons, but this spiritual perspective of being able to do that, the primary one, is separation. This idea that it is separate from me allows an objectivity that I may not be able to get in other methods. Beyond that, the separation affects belief. In other words, if I'm writing to it from this perspective, it is strengthening my belief that I am separate from it. And that separation brings clarity to my relationship to it, its manifestation, how I participated in its creation and ongoing existence, and now I can take responsibility for dismantling my portion and responsibility moving forward. That being said, I mentioned there were two different aspects that I wanted to go into detail about the existence and the reality of the wall of denial as a real thing in non-ordinary reality. So this was that first perspective, to see it as it's a wall, and it is related to my beliefs. I participated in its construction and its ongoing maintenance, and now I take responsibility for reversing that process of manifestation. You know, brick by brick building, well, now I'm going to take it apart. Brick by brick, or one big blow up at a time, depending upon how your spirits show you how it can be done. The second way of looking at this is that the wall of denial, is a being. Now, this being having its own consciousness and its own agenda brings in another perspective and another angle from the spiritual and the shamanic. Now, because we're talking about a wall is a thing. So the idea that the wall maybe was created not only by me 100%, but maybe there is a bigger personalized spirit that is in charge of bad things happening in non-ordinary reality. I'm trying to stay away from the obvious Judeo-Christian ideas of good and bad and God and the devil, but that is an obvious way to draw a polarity. God being one spirit and the devil being another spirit, the little angel on your shoulder and the devil on your shoulder. So there's the polarity. Now, to bring a little more life to the beings existing in non-ordinary reality, it most definitely does not have to be the devil. In other words, what if there is a spirit that is the spirit of addiction? And there are many different ways of seeing that, as there are people. In other words, visiting the spirit of addiction and seeing how it lays these traps, it lays these circumstances, it participates in the synchronicities of life to lay out choices for you here in ordinary reality that I love to associate with things like neuroplasticity. In other words, is it nature or is it nurture? Is it spirit or is it my participation in this? Here's what I mean by that. So if I have genes that give me the proclivity of being aimed towards an addiction in my life, are they going to get turned on or turned off from that scientific point of view? From the spiritual point of view, and this spirit of addiction, it may be providing the opportunities necessary in ordinary reality for us to be able to move through them successfully or to fall prey to them. Now, if we fall into the trap, maybe it's because we've been primed through trauma, abuse, heartbreak, and loss to, and then the repercussions thereof of not being able to express them in a healthy manner, to be able to digest them as they've happened to us, and now we are able to process them in real time and let them go. Maybe we're hanging on to something. The more we hang on to them, as we talk about in the Sober Shaman's Path of Recovery, the longer it turns into that I am statement, the belief. Again, this is why I spend so much time on belief. So, all of that to say, let's call it again, the spirit of addiction exists in non-ordinary reality. And in ordinary reality, we have these challenges in life that we can take left turns or right turns or move forward or move backwards. And when we make the choices, well, that's a big word, and it carries with it responsibility to move into participating in a cycle of addiction and then take the responsibility to start extricating ourselves from that cycle. It must be done on a mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical level, because addiction affects us mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So using this spiritual perspective, dismantling this belief, using the shamanic rites exercise, writing right at the spirit, whether that spirit is existing in non-ordinary reality as the wall, as a wall that I participated in creating and built brick by brick through the actions I did here in ordinary reality based upon my beliefs and actions and feelings and thoughts, and or that wall in non-ordinary reality is a group participation between me and the spirit of addiction that is the big sucker there in non-ordinary reality, laying out that wall of addiction, the wall of denial, excuse me, and helping lay down the cement, whether it's in non-ordinary reality or in ordinary reality, providing opportunity after opportunity to move into or out of the cycle. So this is a point that I wanted to go into deeper detail. The reality of that wall of denial can be the wall as a construct and a thing as a wall, or it can be a wall that is a construct through the spirit of addiction also participating in that wall of denial, as I also do. So when we do these rites exercises, the primary focus from the spiritual and shamanic point of view is the wall of denial is a real thing existing in non-ordinary reality, and that's what I'm writing to. And boom, I receive the prompt, I hear the drums, I put my pen to paper, and with every stroke of my pen, I am dismantling another brick in that wall. Boom, go. And at the same time, I am dismantling my relationship with the spirit of addiction. So however that lands with you and feels at this time like it works better for you, by all means, make use of that. And it doesn't mean that you have to decide one way or the other. Is there a spirit of addiction? Gee, I never thought of that before. And if that doesn't feel like something that either lands with you in your belief system at this time right now that you want to work with, fine, no judgment. It is what it is. And at the same time, if it feels like, huh, that is exactly the next steps on the path right now, by all means, bring that into this writing exercise, whatever writing exercise you're doing, whatever journey you're doing, whatever you're doing in any aspect of your recovery, by all means, take those next steps, put a little flesh on those spiritual bones and see where it leads you. Please let me know how this lands with you. And if you have any questions, shoot them my way. Or if you do the exercise and it comes out a little differently for you from this particular perspective, I'd love to hear what you got. So please shoot them my way. Leave them in the comments, whether you're on the post or the video. And I would love to hear what you get. And at this point, I should say, please, wherever you're listening to this podcast or watching this podcast, leave a little like, hit the subscribe button. It's greatly appreciated. So another point I wanted to bring up in belief, reality, writing to the spirits as if they are real because they are real, is after the exercise, how did that feel for you? I want to get into that, hear what you got, and again, why I, as the English say, bang on about this point, is because for me, beliefs are the stickiest thing at the core of addiction and in trying to make changes. And saying, and the sober shaman takes a new experience to change an old belief. We can talk about, we can conceptualize the beliefs and, I'm going to change them. And we could read and we could listen to podcasts and we can do all kinds of things. And these are the medicines of awareness, to use the language of this program. And that's important, and that's great, and it does very little to change the belief. It allows us mentally, awareness is the medicine for the mental aspect, so it gives us the mental components to change the belief. It's a good idea. I should, right? But until we get an experience that slams into the wall of denial like a wrecking ball, it takes that that wrecking ball needs to be an experience to change the belief. Now, again, whether this is going from a wrecking ball being trauma, abuse, heartbreak, and loss that slams into our lives, that where everything is good, everything is going fine. What are you talking about? In the form of trauma, abuse, heartbreak, and loss, boom, and we're never the same afterwards. That gives us beliefs. It takes that kind of awful experience, that amount of pain, to now change our belief. The world is safe. I am enough. Wait a minute. The world is not safe. I am not enough. That's how it flips the belief. The converse is also true, where that wrecking ball needs to be an experience, not just awareness. The momentum of that wrecking ball can be brought forth by awareness, but it needs to be solid to slam into the wall of denial, to start cracking, dismantling, and destroying old beliefs, which is why experiential exercises, in my opinions, that attack beliefs, these old beliefs, are so essential to dismantling an addiction. They are one and the same, which is why I bang on about this and try to bring this into awareness of how important it is, and at the same time also to encourage and support you in providing these exercises, receiving what you got, and allowing you then to take the experience from the exercise and then turning that into experience into life. And that would be the fourth medicine of the program, which is in the realm of the physical. We need a practice. We need actions. We need behaviors. We need a practice. We need day in and day night, day out, taking the medicine of awareness, the medicine of experience, and doing it over and over again. And then that last medicine for the emotional component about connection, that makes it even better. So when we have awareness, we have this experience through these exercises, shamanic rites and the medicine journeys, connect with other people. That's why when I say share, it's not just sharing with me that it's wonderful that you've got these experiences, but that medicine of connection is essential for the emotional component. And with me, maybe with other groups, maybe you have a therapist, maybe you have a psychiatrist or a doctor or other avenues of people who respect and understand these types of exercises from these spiritual perspectives, and then turning it into practice. When we are able to incorporate all four of those medicines, awareness, experience, connection, and practice, we have a pretty good snowball rolling downhill on our side of dismantling the whole entire cycle of addiction. And why I keep banging on about beliefs, because they are They're the gravity pulling that snowball down and just keeping it rolling. And that's why I keep going on about this. And that's why I keep trying to approach it from different angles and see if it lands with you in different ways, because it takes a new experience to change an old belief. So, once again, let me know how this particular bit of information lands with you about the four medicines, about belief, about the wall of denial being real, and what you received, and how that maybe you are feeling, noticing, experiencing in your ordinary life, in your ordinary reality life, how that is changing those old core beliefs. So I'd love to know what you got. Again, leave the comments, leave a like, give me a thumbs up, whatever platform you're listening or watching this on. As always, it's wonderful to connect with you. Thank you for your time. Till next time. Blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.